Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. Not long ago, some fellows in the Brotherhood were putting together a book on every chapter of the New Testament, and they asked me to do a couple of chapters. I didn't get to pick what they wanted me to do, and so they gave me, this is one of the chapters that they gave me. I looked at it and I said, I guess the guys they really liked got to choose first. But the more I looked at this chapter, the more I realized how relevant it is and how important it is. And even though there's no unimportant scripture, some of them are more relevant than others and more pressing in the time we live in now. This is a very important passage for us to study. When Peter was alive, in the end of his life, he was preaching during a time of great change. The whole world was changing. The Roman Empire was pulling in its ranks and solidifying their base because they didn't win every battle they fought anymore. There was also financial crisis. There was an enormous cultural change as far as whether we're going to worship idols or God, and the idols didn't give up easy. And so great pressure was put on the church. It was a time where normal things that we would think of are basic to the foundation of a culture were vanishing. Human life meant very little. Contracts had to be stamped several times before, in other words, you could lie and get away with it. So there was lots of stuff going on besides the fact that the church was growing and so was the persecution. So when Peter tells us something, this is the fourth chapter, when Peter tells us something about rejoicing in our suffering, as he says in verse 13, we are surprised. How can there be rejoicing in the midst of suffering? Let's look at this short verse together, this passage. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourself with the same thought. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer by human passion, but by the will of God. Let the time that is past suffice for doing what the Gentiles like to do, living in licentiousness, passions, drunkenness, revels, carousing and lawless idolatry. They are surprised that you do not now join them in this same wild activity, and they abuse you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to the dead, as though judged in the flesh like men, they might live in the spirit like God. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, keep sane, sober for your prayers, above all, holding unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins. Practice hospitality ungrudgingly to one another, as each has received a gift. Employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who utters the oracles of God, whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, and that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or thief or a wrongdoer or a mischief maker. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but under that name let him glorify God. For the time has come for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And If the righteous man is scarcely saved, where will the impious sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will do right and entrust their souls to a faithful Creator. How indeed could anybody say you could say the word glad in the same sentence you say suffering? What could be good about it? How do we even understand it? When we think about suffering, it's something that we want to just repel from because the very nature of suffering is that it hurts. And pain is real, isn't it? And so what about this? I want you to look at, about four verses here in this chapter that give us at least a beginning place to start to think about this. The first one is, in verse 1, he tells us, suffering is here. Not all suffering is the same. I don't mean by intensity, but by for the reason it happens. And he says, some of you are going to suffer for a particular reason. And the reason is you have ceased to sin. When you stop sinning, it hurts. It hurts. If you've ever been involved in any kind of a sin that was enslaving you, getting free from it, it might be the hardest thing you ever do in all your life. It's painful. Satan doesn't give up his prey easily. His claws are sunk deep in us, and when we're pulling free, we're going to leave some flesh behind. There's going to be some pain involved in it. So we need to understand that sometimes suffering is showing us that we are actually getting better. We're getting free of this kind of situation that was hurting us. Sinning leads to death. And this righteousness that produces, this sorrow that produces repentance, even though it's painful, it's a good thing. And he said, so some suffering, we're not surprised that we have it. And could we reach out far enough to say, you welcome it, because it means I'm getting free of this thing that's killing me. He says, sometimes, verse 4, sometimes suffering comes as a retaliation. It's not because you're bad. It's because you are actually trying to follow God. And sometimes, as he tells us here in this verse, some of the people that you used to sin with, or maybe the whole system of the world that's run by the devil, recognizes that you're leaving, and he makes it extra hard, there's punishment. Sometimes, because you're a Christian, you may lose your job. Maybe because you're a Christian, you lose your spot in the lineup of the benefits that are around. Sometimes you suffer because of retaliation. And so he says sometimes, he even uses the word in verse 4, they abuse you for it. Sometimes that happens. He says that the next verse, in verse, I think it's a little farther down, he said, in verse 12, I believe, he says, don't be surprised that the fiery ordeal which comes upon you to prove you. When gold is refined, the gold goes through a furnace. It gets really hot. It melts it. Some stuff burns up. Some stuff floats to the top because gold is heavier and it's taken off. But the whole process is difficult for the gold. He says sometimes part of this whole process of being more like God and reflecting his nature, there's pain involved in it. I've never refined gold, but I was told in ancient times you knew when you had almost pure gold, when the man who's doing it can look down in that pot and he can see his face reflecting on the surface of the melted gold. If you got a bunch of gold and you want us to try that sometime, but bring it on over and we'll start the fire up. I don't know if it really works with gold. I read it. I have no reason not to believe it, but I do know it works with us. And there's some paths to God, the refining of our life, the pruning, as he said, the vine dresser cuts the limbs off that don't bear fruit, or the pottery that is put in the fire. Some of it, the only way we're going to look like God and reflect his glory is to go through the fire. And so he says in verse 12, he says, sometimes we shouldn't be surprised because of what could be happening to us. This fiery ordeal is something that's proving you. Now, it's not like the world is giving you a test, but there is a test involved in it. There's something that is required. And what is that? If we're going to follow God, we have to die. If we're going to follow God, we have to surrender all rights to Him. You don't surrender them to me. You don't surrender them to the church, but you surrender them to God. And this proving or this testing is sometimes painful. And he tells us to understand, and he's even telling us in this passage, when he talks about this strange feeling that something is happening, we shouldn't be surprised in verse 12, because he tells us trouble is coming and always will for those people who deliberately stand out and stand up for God and start moving towards Him. These people were about to find a terrible ordeal, so that the places like the floor of the Colosseum in Rome would be called by historians the bloodiest acre on earth, because so many people died, not because they were murderers, not because they were terrorists, but because they wouldn't put a handful of incense in a fire and say that Caesar is God. He's saying it could even get worse than it is. Sometimes when we're suffering maybe from disease or from old age or from the normal things of life, you know, it's cold out there today, you know. We suffer in some ways and we think, how could it be worse? It can be worse. These Christians were skinned alive. They were set on fire. They were fed to wild animals. Smart people set up at night figuring out ways to kill these people that would be more humiliating and more painful and that would last longer, so that the shows they were putting on wouldn't be over quick. In other words, they quit beheading people pretty quick. They wanted it to really be something. That's why they love those crosses, because it just kept the show going. And he said, so you shouldn't be surprised. And then he tells us another reason in this same passage, because he says that you share in Christ's suffering. Now, what Jesus did is sufficient for all times, for everybody, right? He doesn't need my suffering to complete His mission. So what could He mean by sharing in His suffering? We get to participate, just like when we were buried in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. We participated from our side in the great thing that He did for us. We get to imitate it. And when we suffer as a Christian, we are part of the team. Those early Christians, the apostles, sometimes they sang and praised God while their wounds were still bleeding. And they rejoiced and they said that they were counted worthy. It's a kind of a badge of honor. Paul even said, Don't you judge me. I wear on my body the marks of Jesus. It was something that it wasn't fun getting it, I'm sure. And a couple of times we see him backing away from a whipping by saying, do you whip Romans? You know, thought I'd throw that in. But the fact is that he got them on a regular basis. And those scars were a source of identification that he had. It doesn't say it in the Bible. I just made this up. But I think that when those early missionaries and those early apostles ever met each other, I think they kind of showed off, don't you? What happened there? Well, that was a jail in Philippi. You ought to see what my back looks like. Well, look here. This is where they put the chain around my leg and so-and-so. I don't know if they did that, but I would think they probably would, as they would describe it. It would really be interesting watching Paul open up his robe, wouldn't it? See those little holes there? That was a snake. One night, we were shipwrecked. I picked it up, picked up a stick, and it was on it, and it bit me. And on and on and on they would go. This, what he's saying is when we share in the suffering of Christ, when what we do is noble, nobody wants to go through the pain of childbirth, do you, girls? But when you, from this side of it, what do you think? It was a glorious thing, wasn't it? Well, that's what he's talking about here. He said sometimes we get to share in his suffering. And that's why the next thing he tells us in verse 15 is to be really careful and really kind of figure out why you're suffering. You can confuse that sometime, and you can think that you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. You know, Jesus said if that's the case, it's a glorious thing. It's a noble thing. It's something that God's proud of. But maybe you're suffering because you're a sinner still. If I go to town and I slap everybody I meet, I'm going to get slapped. Probably harder than I was doing it. Maybe more times. Somebody might pick up a brick before it's over with. Some suffering comes because we're rude. Some suffering comes because we're foolish. Some suffering comes because we're arrogant. Some suffering comes, as Jesus said, because we were in the shade of the wrong tower at the wrong time, and it just falls on. Sometimes we made a wrong turn down a road, and a guy who was going to kill the people, like Pilate, that was going to kill those people that came along there, you were the one that he got. It has nothing to do with whether you're good or bad. But some suffering comes because we're a mischief maker, because we're a sinner. Don't ever do that. There's nothing noble in that. Well, you might be tough, but there's nothing glorious about it. And there's nothing eternal about it. When you suffer because you've sinned, what have you got? You got what you had coming. That split lip you got because you were rude or you were mean or something else. It wasn't like don't preach anymore in the name of Jesus and you get punched in the mouth for it. That's not the same kind of thing. And so he says, when you suffer, look at verse 15, never let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or a wrongdoer or a mischief maker. Don't do that. That's not who we are. He didn't say but. He said, yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, if you can identify the reason for the suffering, is not just the fact that a plague came through or that some things happened because you happened to be in the wrong place, or that you were a sinner, if it's identifying you like these leaders of the church were drug out of their homes and persecuted, like Stephen being drug out to the out of town and they're going to throw rocks at him, if you're suffering as a Christian, don't be ashamed. There's something else about this. He said, don't be ashamed, but under that name, let him glorify God. Now, he tells us a couple of things here. First of all, he tells us that help is coming, and this is a temporary situation. Might last years, but it's going to come to an end. But he wants you to make sure that you suffer, as he says, for the glory of God or because you're a Christian. He says judgment is coming in verse 17, and that God will judge correctly, and no one gets away with anything. Sinners will be judged. And the righteous, well, we just barely make it. That's what he says. We just barely make it. If it wasn't for the grace of God, nobody would be saved. And because of that, that's all right. Barely is wonderful because we're in. That's what it means. The last one on the helicopter on the roof, he got to go home. The next one didn't. And so what he's telling us here is, he says, this help is coming. Judgment is coming. And so what do we do? Verse 19, he ends the chapter by saying, therefore, let those who suffer, since everyone's going to suffer, even Christians, if you suffer, do right. You suffer while you're doing the right thing. You suffer while you're moving towards judgment. You suffer while you're moving towards the end of time. You suffer while you're continuing to do the will of God. You're still doing the things that God told you to do. As one fellow said, limp if you need to, crawl if you must, but keep moving. and keep serving and keep doing what you're doing. And then what does he say? Not only do right, but entrust yourself to your Creator. Entrust your soul to a faithful Creator. God knows you better than you know yourself. And you trust Him. Now, I want to tell you, it's easier to trust Him when everything's going just the way you want it to. It's easier to trust Him when we're in a warm place, no one is kicking the door down. We've had a good meal today and all of the things. It's easier, isn't it? You know, it's good. Anybody can be a Christian on Wednesday night at camp, you know, when everybody you know is singing praises to God and everything. This refining that takes place, this test, this race, this war, that's when it counts. Because no one can misunderstand that. Even when you come in here with your walkers, even when you go get in the car and you know everyone knows that sees you, knows you have no business being out on a night like this. Even when you're still kind to your caregiver, when you're wanting to scream you're hurting so bad, even when you tell the truth, when you could lie and maybe escape some of the pain, even with all of that, there's something noble about trusting God. Guys, it's the only thing we really have. We keep obeying Him and we keep trusting Him. What do we sing sometimes? Trust and obey. There's no other way. Now, if Jesus was like other leaders, He would say, there's very little suffering and a lot of glory. You don't have to worry about anything. Everyone's going to love you. It's the kind of job you can get into as a Christian, and you can just, it'll just be glorious. People are going to be, do you remember the time they put their coats down for me to ride across? You know, He could have done that. But He loved you too much, and He has too much respect for you to do that. So He tells us life hurts. It hurts because sin is in the world. It hurts because we sin. It hurts because other people sin. It hurts because this whole planet has fallen into darkness. It hurts. It hurts because the whole process of becoming like God is painful. It hurts because the journey is hard and uphill. But the end is glorious. And in the meantime, we have help. And you can see why I'd rather have another chapter. But I need this one. And you do too. If you need to come to Jesus, this is the time. Won't you come while we stand and sing?